he thinks it's proof that people got vaccinated because they were all hypnotized. Their stats is that out of every 200 people over the age of 50, one would die of COVID. And that is evidence that COVID isn't that dangerous. So yeah, that's fine. As long as there's only like 200 people over the age of 50, you're talking right. about one death. If the number of people over the age of 50 gets much bigger than 200 into like the millions and stuff, suddenly that's a lot of dead people there. That's the thing he's missing.
If you were in a high school gymnasium with 200 people and two of them died, you'd lose your fucking shit.
Movies.
Welcome back to God Awful Movies, where each week we watch another terrible movie so you don't have to. I'm your host, Heath Enright, and I'm joined by the Eli Bosnick. Eli, how's it going, buddy?
Fantastic, Comrade Heath. Thank you for having me.
All right. You're doing the communist accent already, but like the all the way Russian one.
All the way.
In my head, it's just like the vaguely European one, but Russian works too. Sure.
Yeah. No, we're doing politics this week. Okay. So it's the Russian one.
We're going to study some political science. And we also have professional idiot wrangler, Michael Marshall. Marsh, welcome back.
It's great to be here. It's not great to be here for this. This is a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's fair.
This is sloppy, even by the standards of a very sloppy filmmaker. That's how bad this is. God, this was annoying as fuck.
The guy who made a movie so untrue they banned it from Facebook Messenger got worse. Got less
made
factual.
Sequels. Yep. So, Marsh, what are we talking about? What are we going to be breaking down today?
We watched Plandemic 3, The Great Awakening. It's the third part in the trilogy that started off with the question, what's in those vaccines? And has somehow ended with the answer, communism, apparently.
Yep.
An economic system, yeah. And Eli, how bad was this movie?
Well, if you've always wanted to watch your anti-vaxxer hippie cousin horseshoe around to the impossible politics of the parents he's rebelling against, you will love this movie. It's the perfect full circle of stupidity, the movie.
Yeah, it's fun. It's the life of one of my good friends. Love it. And is there anything you'd like to nominate this one for being the best at being the worst at?
Absolutely. I'm going to take best worst slow burn expert, because
fucking amazing.
The structure of this so-called documentary is that we watch like a lecture from the 60s from this guy who seems like, oh, he seems to be someone that we should really listen to. He's a guy who's telling us all about the way that communism and socialism have expanded in America. And we keep coming back to him, and we keep coming back to him. And I'm wondering, is this guy like a famous political theorist? Is he a famous politician? And the answer is no, he's a crazy person amongst the most crazy people you could possibly
sure
have
is.
Found. And it takes us an hour and a half to find that out.
The only way this possibly could have been matched is if at the end of The Twilight Zone, you had learned that Rod Serling was a serial murderer, right? Like, you spend the entire movie being like, I don't know, some boring narrator. And then they're like, and by the way, stay tuned, everybody. Stay the fuck tuned.
Mickey Willis just wakes up and Aunt M is there and she stabs him with Johnson & Johnson and he panics and that's the end of the movie. God. Okay, I'm going to go with best worst evil robe. So there's a guy who they're going to make a big deal about how evil he is, and he's wearing the most evil possible outfit you can imagine. But it turns out he's just like an economics nerd, but somebody talked him into wearing this horribly
yes.
evil thing somehow.
Yeah. Look, it's going to come up a lot. And Marsh, you're the closest we get to grown-ups, so I'm going to need you to pass this along to them. Mm. They got to stop dressing like this and naming things the way they name. It's making our job so much harder. Someone at that European organization had to be like, hey, Fritz, I'm so sorry. Do you know that like 10% of the mentally ill people think we're space lizards? I feel like you should just maybe wear a suit.
I'm on board with this. Like, we'll get to it, but it's that is the robes that you wear when you're given an honorary doctorate from Kalnis University in Lithuania. So like, I'm on board with this because honorary doctorates are bullshit. People turn up just to like collect one in order to seem like they're more important than they actually are. So yeah, by all means, dress them up as stupidly as you fucking can. This is your opportunity to do that. I'm on board with that. Absolutely.
All right. Do you think the university was doing a prank just to fuck with this guy? For sure.
That is, I've looked, that's what all of their robes look like. I think they're doing a prank on everybody who ever accepts an honorary doctorate from them. It's brilliant. I'm on board for it, 100%.
All right. One vote yes, one vote no. You decide, podcast listener. And I'm going to go with best worst conspiracy theory drinking game. So keep in mind, this is a Plandemic movie, right? Plandemic is a movie so dangerous that it was like genuinely scrubbed from the internet for a little bit. For those of you who haven't heard our review of the original Plandemic, when I tried to send the movie to Marsh on Facebook Messenger, Facebook was like, nope, can't do it. Nope, you can't actually distribute that disinformation. They have now taken all possible bad idea. You cannot think of a bad idea from like, should I put a penny in a light socket, to incorrect political theories.
By the way,
they have swirled them down in the drain of Plandemic 3. Plandemic 4 might as well be, you could drink the stuff under the sink. So yeah, I have best worst conspiracy drinking game. If you play a drinking game of conspiracy theory lingo with this movie, you will die. You will die of alcohol poisoning.
Citation needed. I'm going to grab a drink and we're going to take a quick break. And then we'll be back to tell you all about Plandemic 3, The Great Awakening.
Mickey
Willis, get in here, big guy.
Hey there, fellas. Hey there. So you wanted to see me about something, about what the movie?
We sure did, Mickey. We heard you're making a new Plandemic movie.
Oh, yeah, totally. I am.
Right, and after the first one, and you know, the second one, we just thought we might, you know, check in on the subject matter, you know?
Yeah, give it the old checkaroo.
Checkity-check-check.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so what's this one about?
Yeah, I'm actually glad you guys called, because this one is a little risky.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's all about how most forms of international collaboration are actually a secret communist plot to take over the world.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I'm like very, very clear that pretty much everything from climate change action to tax reform is in fact a secret communist incursion.
Oh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine.
Wait, it is? That's fine?
Yeah. No, implying good things are a communist plot has been the right-wing playbook for like, what, I would say 60 years?
Oh, longer at least. Yeah, longer.
Yeah, way longer. Yeah, so you're fine. So just say literally whatever you want about people and organizations trying to make the world better. Nobody will stop you.
Yeah, truly. Just go nuts with it. Absolutely.
Oh, great. Thanks, guys.
Mickey, before you go, can I ask you a question? Will you settle a little like personal bet for us?
Sure, yeah. What's up?
Is your existence a punishment for your parents naming you Mickey?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Ha, knew it. $20 right now.
No, you were right. You were right.
They didn't even spell it right.
No, they did not.
They did not.
Know how you do that.
Heath, quick.
Hey, Eli, what's up?
We got to get into shape before the pajama party. Marsh and Nicola are coming, and the lengths they are talking about walking are unheard of. They're like ultra marathons.
Okay, I mean, how bad could it be?
Marsh just asked me if we could set aside a day for a stroll to Maine.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty far. I guess we got to get FitBod now.
What's FitBod?
It's a fitness app that creates completely personalized workouts that adapt as you improve. Whether you're a seasoned gym goer or just starting your fitness journey, FitBod will push you to make progress. It's like having your own personal trainer, but better. It's cheaper, you can work out anywhere, with or without equipment, and it's easy to build a custom fitness plan that works for you.
That sounds great, but have you actually tried it?
I sure have. I downloaded FitBod when they became a sponsor, and I love that I can adjust how hard I want to push myself and even tell it what equipment I have so I can hit the perfect workout every time.
I don't know, Heath. Don't you need someone there to show you how to scronk the lateral bench or whatever?
Not at all. FitBod's got you covered with over 1,000 demonstration videos.
Wow. Okay, where do I sign up?
Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app free at, to answer your question, fitbod.me/gam. That's FITBOD.ME/GAM.
All right, Heath, thanks.
Oh, there you guys are. Look, I'm walking to Erewhon for a juice. Do you guys want anything?
Marsh, there aren't any Erewhons on the East Coast, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I know.
Got it.
And we're back. And we're going to start with unfrozen Viking newsman who got thrown into a live broadcast as the anchor for this news show that we're watching. And, of course, it's one of those lamestream media shows that's run by the Illuminati towing the line about vaccines. And they're trying to do a sarcastic takedown of vaccines.
Yeah, so this is J.P. Sears, everybody. You'll remember him for a video going ever so slightly viral on YouTube. The what if meat eaters treated vegans the way vegans treat meat eaters?
Oh, God, did that go viral?
Yeah. Remember that video? Everyone was like, ah, got him. And he was like, by the way, now that I have your attention.
He's the worst.
And it's so rough because like, I knew that films could have a cold open. I didn't know they could have a sad open, but that's what he's giving us.
Very yep. sad.
He looks like an alcoholic lion at his kid's custody hearing. That's what he's got yep. the vibe going on.
Well, you know, I just lost that honey product, yep. so I'm hoping we can reduce my payments.
Adam has a sunscreen dealer at like Skin Cancer Bonnaroo. He's just very sloppy and recessive. It's not going good for him.
Yeah, I have him as...
Sunburning man. I should have said that instead of Bonnaroo. Stupid.
I have him down as a dick vein that goes unchecked.
Oh, yeah. That works. He's allegedly a comedian. He claims to be a comedian.
Yeah, he had the videos.
God, he's like Eli's torture device. Like, I'm going to hire right. this guy to, like, be at stuff that Eli... at like, maybe the wedding. Maybe he'll headline the wedding. I don't know.
Ooh, I love this. Just let J.P. Sears do 10 yeah. minutes. Hey, can I say... affordable. I promise you this. J.P. Sears, affordable.
And his delivery is so bad. Like, nobody could possibly think that this guy is funny. Like, the fact that, like, anti-vaxxers admire J.P. Sears, that's way more of a sign of their delusion than the fact that they think that the vaccine was made by lizards to steal our souls. The fact that they even yeah. rate this guy at all is the delusion.
Yeah, it's just like if the damn Daniel kid from Vine turned out to be like a really important anti-abortion advocate. Like, I don't know where to place that emotionally.
Okay, so the point they're trying to make here is that they're anti-pharma. And they make that point. And I was like, okay, well, good thing nobody's making money on fake COVID medicine. And then literally the next moment... they're like, okay, but seriously, buy our fierce immunity pills.
Fierce immunity.
It just pitches into the ad pitch all the way. Part of the ad pitch is we bring integrity down to the molecule. It's like, yeah, your integrity is microscopic. All right, that is genuinely true.
Their lawyer stepped in. Hey, you guys actually can't say that our integrity is visible with just a microscope. I'm going to need you to use a smaller term. Fierce immunity, by the way, their website is like fierceimmunity.biz. They did not buy a bunch of variations. And so if anyone's wondering what I spent my weekend doing, it was having our lawyer / Heath's fiance explain to me why I couldn't clone their website except pretend that they just sold lion piss. So I'm sorry there's no prank websites, everybody, but...
That would be tied for its ability to stop COVID, probably. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, their website was getfiercenow.com is what they got. Because I wrote down, that's a shame they got the .com. It means that Eli's problematic drag makeover company will have to make do with getfiercenow.biz.
See, now they did not buy getfierce, F-E-I-R-C or F-E-A-R-C-E.
Oh.
Both of which I bet their listeners and viewers are more likely to spell than the
you
proper
use. You got a good shot there. You're going to get some traffic, for sure.
W-R-Z, F-W-R-Z. Yeah. That's how they'd spell fierce.
So their thing is called Fierce Immunity, but also like the general company's called Rebel Lion, and the tagline is Awaken the Lions. Do you think this guy, J.P. Sears, got the job because he does in fact look like a very sick lion? Like, was that part of their strategy?
Ooh, it must be that.
It's like a Toucan Sam situation, you think? That's gravy. I wish.
The thing is, well, when he's doing this ad read as well, he's so bad at reading out lines. He's even bad at doing the ad copy. Like, he's so unenthusiastic and unconvincing. He's worse than Kara at doing ad copy in terms of committing to it. I can say that. She's not going to listen. It's
That's
fine.
Right. She will never listen. That's what I said. If we ever need to accuse her of major crimes, this is the safest place.
I love, seriously, we're 2 minutes in and they did an ad. Like, right the fuck. Dear old dads is like, do your show already. Do your content, please.
Yeah. All right, so now they're just going to ask us for money. They've gone from selling us something to just asking us for money. They're going to tell us that all their movies are free. I can sadly report all their movies are not free. Plandemic the Musical is still behind a paywall, and that's why we're here, damn it. But eventually all their movies are free, so they're using the Angel Studios model of scan this QR code and just give us
cash. It's so sad because they're like, yeah, even you have to like pay money to make a fake pill. That costs. Can you just give us some so we don't have to do that? That's what this whole thing is.
And on that pitch, it's got a picture of Mickey Willis, and he's given himself like a sticker over his mouth with the word banned on it. And I'm watching that on the movie that he's made and then uploaded to his own YouTube channel where I'm currently watching this. So how banned are you, Mickey? I'm watching it on your YouTube channel currently.
Yeah, well, you know, to be fair, one out of three of his movies is virtually unwatchable on the internet. So I could see why he went it. And so now we're going to cut to Mickey giving a speech, right? Which I think is so funny because this is not the moment they're aiming for, right? He's like, if you're a Republican, you're welcome here. If you're a Democrat, you're welcome here. If you're unvaccinated, you're welcome here. And everyone cheers. Then he goes, if you're vaccinated, you're welcome here. And everyone boos.
Okay, literally, as I was watching this moment, I got an email from Vaxxed 2. And
they're
selling DVD box sets.
Yep. Really? Yep. You can buy, I would say once a month, I get an email from Vaxxed.com or whatever it is being like, you can have 1,000 DVDs for $6. Please. They're taking up the extra bedroom.
We have so many free hours on AOL. Please buy them from us. It's so dumb. Yeah. Yeah. And just for the record, he's giving a speech to a pretty big crowd. So many people in this giant crowd died of COVID, for sure. So I don't know which ones, statistically, a bunch.
A bunch, yeah. And then their kids died of preventable diseases. So it's a whole thing.
Sure did.
And also, if I was him, I wouldn't open with footage of me at a political rally, given that he was at Jan 6th. He spoke and things. He did stuff at Jan 6th.
Wow.
Don't remind people that you attend big political rallies. Don't do that.
Hi, I'm Mickey Willis, and I love going to places with big groups of people. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, no, it is phenomenal. Speaking of which, now Mickey's going to give us his sob story because he grew up a child of the welfare state. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. The scene starts with him eating popcorn, which is just... it's a sloppy thing to show yourself eating.
Yeah, it's a weird intro.
Mm.
And he's got that giant bottom beard thing that he does, and it's in the way. Stuff's getting stuck. It wasn't a good pick.
He's doing it in slow motion as well, like ultra 4K slow-mo. Don't eat popcorn in slow motion. It will not build your credibility at the start of the movie. Also, he says about being a child welfare state, he says, I witnessed firsthand what happens to the psyche and the spirit of those who become dependent on government assistance. And like, look, as a fellow child of the welfare state, I just want to say, go fuck yourself. Needing to eat is not a harmful dependency. That's not what that is.
I don't know, Marsh. You are still addicted to food. You eat every single day.
That is true. That's true.
Maybe if the state hadn't reinforced your addiction, you would have gotten free of it. Or as Mickey points out about his own mother, who I'm sure would have loved being used as his example, his mom didn't get married because she wanted to keep her welfare.
Yeah. He also says she got killed by toxic cancer medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, really? You think maybe it was... The cancer? Because I feel like it could have been the cancer that killed her.
No, it was a combination of toxic cancer treatments and grief. And it feels like, yeah, you've written the cocktail recipe down, but you've missed a vital ingredient from that cocktail, Nicky.
Yeah, tons of people taking cancer medicine die. I don't think you're doing logic right, though.
Yeah.
He also says his brother got killed by AIDS medication. And I was like, I don't think that's what happened, man.
Yeah, this is Mickey Willis. So for those of you who don't spend too much time on Telegram like Marsh and I, Mickey Willis has danced around the AIDS denial movement for the last little while. And I think this is him tipping his hand as to why.
Yeah, and I think he was actually interviewed for John Ronson's latest podcast. And it turns out his brother like had AIDS and was one of the first cohort of people on the first AIDS medication. And there were like some serious side effects with that medication. And then they sort of like fixed it and came up with stuff that's better. And in that interview, John Ronson, he basically says that's what started him going into crazy spaces. So like he's right about this whole AIDS stuff. But it's like AIDS medication didn't kill his brother. The AIDS did. It's just the medication also had some pretty nasty side effects at the time. And that was his whole origin story, basically.
Yeah. AZT is the thing he's talking about. It was the first retroviral, and it saved so many lives despite those side effects.
Yeah.
And now the cocktail is much better.
Yeah, so much better.
Yeah, it would be hard to find a metaphor for being in opposition to a more useful medical science, except he's an anti-vaxxer, which is exactly what that metaphor is. So it's kind of tough to...
Yes.
It's hard to escalate with Mickey Willis is what we're saying. So now it's time to meet our narrator. This is G. Edward Griffin. Do not Google him. Do not spoil this for yourself, podcast listener.
Yeah, well, I Googled him. He worked for George Wallace.
Yeah.
The segregation guy, the governor who stood in front of the University of Alabama and was like, no, we're keeping segregation. Griffin, who's going to be our narrator for the whole movie, worked for that guy. Griffin was also a member and officer in the John Birch Society, the hate group. Mm-hmm. And Griffin thinks Noah's Ark is real. He thinks he might have found it.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks the Fed is a hoax, a Ponzi scheme, whatever. He's made movies about both of those last two things I said.
Yes. And that is Marsh's best worst, everybody. That is
why
he's
the best worst.
The twist at the end of the movie was me finding out like 10 minutes before the end that he is an AIDS denier who thinks he has found Noah's Ark. But we will let you know here at the front so that we can reference that whenever he says anything. And in his defense, he's sort of going to tell on himself here. The very first quote he gives us is that history is a lie agreed upon. And he attributes that to Napoleon Bonaparte. And then he's like, but he actually didn't say that. I wanted him to be like, wait, am I the bad guy in the movie?
Okay, I have another quote just, you know, in reference to that. If you tell a lie big enough and make 3 movies and a musical about it, people come to believe it. I think Joseph Goebbels said that. Okay.
I think Napoleon said that about Joseph Goebbels. Yeah, if I'm remembering correctly. So now Mickey Willis is going to tell us his hippie origin story. Yes, he started out as a Bernie bro. I know.
I was so mad.
Shocking.
Don't bring Bernie Sanders into this. Fuck you. Slap, slap with mittens right now. Get out of here.
I wrote in my notes, I'm pretty sure Bernie is just as happy to separate his brand from you as you are.
But he says, like, he said that was his political awakening. He said, oh, my political awakening was in 2016 with this guy. So, Mickey Willis, you were 45 in 2016. So, like, 9/11, the war on terror, Hurricane Katrina, the financial crash, none of that woke this grown man up to politics, but Bernie managed it. That's what he's saying here.
But then he got kicked out of the Bernie campaign. He's like, yeah.
Yes.
So I was touring with Bernie, but then everyone fucking hated me and made me leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he says, at the time, I knew little about socialism and even less about democratic socialism. And you were hanging around with, you were touring with Bernie Sanders at the time, you privileged fuck, and you knew nothing about socialism.
It's the best. He shows a clip of him being a libertarian dick at a Bernie thing. He's like, hey, Bernie bros. And he asks them, how do we have democratic socialism without doing government fascism? And they're all like, boo, fuck you.
Get
we
the
all
fuck
hate
out.
You. And to be clear, that's not a gotcha. We do that. We do democratic socialism with government fascism. But we just say government. But yes. with rules. That's how you do that.
Yeah. If the very definition of government is also your definition of fascism.
You made this movie.
Then yes, exactly. Then all government will be government fascism. It's a little bit recursive. So now we're going to get some more of our AIDS denier / arc finder. This is this like 1950s, 1960s film reel.
It's 1969. He puts the caption up on screen 1969 because I wrote, oh my God, please tell me he's going to deny the moon landing. Please let me know that's where we're going. We don't, unfortunately.
That's Plandemic 4, I assume. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Step ahead of me.
And he's going to open with, I'm not kidding, 9 sentences saying, I'm going to cut right to the chase.
Yes.
And so he's talking about how communists are like taking over America. And then, and I have to be clear, there are no interceding shots between this. He talks about how communists are taking over America. And then he shows Jim Carrey on Late Night talking about Nike shoes.
Yeah. Jim Carrey, I think in this moment was supporting Colin Kaepernick for kneeling.
Yes.
And just to be clear, the movie is going to be literally anti-Black Lives Matter for like a whole segment.
Anti-Black Lives Matter, this movie will be clearly and openly anti-civil rights movement at a certain point.
Yeah, it's just anti-Black Lives, not anti-Black Lives Matter, just straight out anti-Black Lives. And the thing is, he's got a footage here of Jim Carrey on the Bill Maher show praising Colin Kaepernick. And I thought, oh, Mickey Willis is just living out that meme of the guy who's unsure which button to press. Because on the one hand, it's Jim Carrey, the vaccine guy. And on the other hand, he's on the other side of things. Yeah, just Mickey Willis just mopping sweat from his brow.
He's anti-vaccine. However, he does think Black Lives Matter. I don't know what to do with this guy. That went through Mickey's head.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And we get this clip of Jim Carrey actually saying something reasonable, which I was surprised, right? He talks about how
difficult
like, hey.
Difficult to watch. Very difficult to watch. He's right about healthcare on that moment. Yeah. It's very
He's like,
confusing.
Hey, they try to scare you about healthcare, but socialism's great. There aren't long wait times. People aren't dying. And then to counter that, he literally had to cut together different news anchors saying medical wait times are increasing in Canada. I wrote in my notes, it's unsatirizable.
And the thing is, he's saying about like wait times going up in Canada. And I believe they actually are. If you talk to Canadians, there's issues with the Canadian health policy at the moment. But Mickey Willis's point is, how can 2019 Jim Carrey be right about Canada when we look at what's happening in 2023? It's like, because time changes.
It is things. The time dimension. Yeah, that'll get you every time. Also, I don't think, and look, I'm sure there's a few, but I don't think most Canadians are like, you know what would be better than having to wait for free healthcare? Having to wait for not free healthcare.
Yeah, exactly.
And now Mickey Willis is going to complain about the Canadian government freezing the bank accounts of terrorists.
The trucker lunatics, right.
And some people who funded them. It's like, yeah, I mean, I don't really care. It probably wasn't a great thing that they froze the bank accounts of people who were donating in, but they were still doing some terrorist stuff. So like, and they got their bank accounts back. It's probably fine.
Also, you can't be mad about something approved by a team of Santa Clauses, can you? Come on.
Right, yeah. And again, to be clear, for everybody who's not familiar of the trucker protests, the point of the trucker protests was to shut down the Canadian border, very much an act of terror,
yes,
because they didn't want to get shots in their ouchie arm, right? So when you do a terrorism, no matter how stupid your reason, they're going to treat you, stay with me, Mickey Willis, like terrorists, which includes cutting off the funding to your terrorism.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So after he sympathizes with that for a while, he's going to take on his first villain of the movie. You know him, you love him, Justin Mwahaha Trudeau.
It's so weird to see Justin Trudeau being the first big bad of this, because I had just forgotten Justin Trudeau even existed for a very long time. I hadn't thought about Trudeau for a long, long time.
And yeah, again, they just show a bunch of clips of Justin Trudeau saying true things, right? He's like, Justin Trudeau called us racist. And Justin Trudeau's like, yeah, they're a bunch of racists. And then Justin Trudeau says we're stupid. And he's like, those guys are fucking stupid. And they do that for like a 6-minute clip, like we're supposed to be like, aha, as opposed to, yes, those are things he very clearly said.
They also show him saying, I actually applaud China for, and then cut. And I was you have to show what he said there. You can't just cut and argue with the beginning of that sentence.
And I think they even say about the truckers, you know, the most violent thing the truckers ever did was honk their horns. Like, yeah, they honked their horns, but they also threatened to ram their trucks at the gates of Parliament to do a Canadian January the 6th and try to overthrow the government. They were doing that as well as honking the horns. The horns wasn't the bit that people were like objecting to amongst all of that.
Yeah, it wasn't like the fourth honk and their accounts were frozen. Yeah. All right. So we're done with Justin Trudeau now, right? He says, and they're not kidding. This is how he intros this next section. He goes, I know Justin Trudeau is a great example of a tyrannical dictator, but there are other great examples too. And then we just get a montage of everyone who agreed with like COVID lockdowns and basic safety measures.
Yeah. Do you know who's missing from the montage of would-be dictators? The guy that Mickey Willis wants in the White House at the next election, who said on day one, I'm going to be a dictator. Somehow that didn't make it into the supercut of would-be dictators.
Yeah. The final quote from Trudeau in the segment was, we have an opportunity, and then cut. And so the movie's being like, was he about to say, let's all be Nazis here in Canada? You decide. And then immediately they cut to evil Nazi sounding guy with an evil robe, my best worst.
Fuck yes. Yeah. Klaus Schwab, everybody.
Yeah.
So first of all, they say that they all learned. Okay, Marsh, I was really hoping you would find some semblance of a source for this. What does he mean by they all learned from the same professor, Klaus Schwab?
So I think it's that Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum puts forward like ideas about how he thinks the world might work at some point in the future, or like, you know, the great reset, how we can like build back better, these types of things that sound great. Actually, no fucking country in the world's going to like pay attention to it. But if you are a crazy conspiracy theorist, that means he's writing the playbook and everyone just does as they're told. So when they go to Davos, Klaus Schwab is there at the secret meeting saying, okay, now these are the things we are all going to do, kind of thing, but in a German accent rather than French.
He's just taking out like a nerd spreadsheet, though, and being like, yeah, I figured out some good things that we can do to, you know, make the flow of money between nations better.
I would say this is like trying to make Bill Nye the Science Guy and Neil deGrasse Tyson look villainous, except we've watched movies where both of those things have happened. So again, it's hard to do metaphors here on God Awful Movies.
Yeah, either way, this guy needs to not dress like he's going to sacrifice baby Superman over a pentagram. That's not a good idea.
Also, that is fair. That is a fair criticism.
There's that conspiracy theory out there already.
He needs a guy who just goes around with him. Just hire someone to go around with you and just advise you what not to wear that might look evil.
But like, yes!
It's the University of Lithuania. And I like the fact they're just fucking with people with their outfit. Like, yeah, you get the honorary doctorate, but in return, we get to dress you up like you're just about to order the destruction of Alderaan. That's the price that you pay for your doctorate.
Fantastic, yeah. So now we're going to try and make the World Economic Forum look scary, which I cannot emphasize enough to you, podcast listener, if you're not aware of what the World Economic Forum is. It's a little like trying to make a dentistry convention scary, right? It is mostly just really optimistic nerds being like, would you please share just a little? I spent like 12 years doing math homework about how many people won't starve if you share. That is the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
But we're going to get ominous shots of George Soros and Greta Thunberg, who wasn't there, but is also scary.
It's just econ lectures. They start, though, with Leo DiCaprio in the front row pretending to understand an econ lecture, just nodding along like he has any idea what's going on.
That's it.
But yeah, that's all they do is like good public policy nerd stuff. They explain to the Tories why Brexit was fucking stupid. That's what they do.
Yeah, exactly. It's 50% those econ nerds, and the other 50% are billionaires pretending that, yes, they're going to share promise for any time now we're about to start sharing. And that's the entire audience, basically.
Right. And so we're watching clips of this. This is a public event. He's literally pulling clips from their videos to make it seem like they're ominous confessions that they put on their goddamn Vimeo. And he's just, this is where I had my best worst drinking game, because it's best where he's talking about George Soros and the Rothschilds. I just wrote in my notes, I would be blackout drunk if I was playing the drinking game by now.
I'm pretty good.
And we even see, as it shows, like the different things that WF are after, the evil things. If you pause and like check the screen, one of them is gender parity. So it wants like equality, like the evil equality. Yeah.
Evil. Well, and to be fair, he's going to spend a little time later in the movie on the evils of gender equality.
That is true. There's also a moment he puts Greta Thunberg up on screen and says, people like internet influencers, and shows her. And that is the saltiest sentiment ever expressed on GAM, just calling Greta Thunberg a social media influencer.
I do think it's weird that all her videos are about the TikTok shop these days. I hope that's not over the line. Oh my God. I would give anything for Greta Thunberg to have a TikTok shop account. Either way.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got a code for 10% off at BetterHelp.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. 10% off something she dropped shipping from Alibaba. Now, there is one place where I do want to call out Professor Schwab here, Dr. Schwab.
The title of his book?
That he called his book The Great Reset. Now look, podcast listener, and the world in general, I'm not just saying this because Marsh is, for some reason right now, also a math teacher, but you need to hire Marsh to just run the name of your big important books by him, right?
Yeah, and your robes. And your robes.
Yeah, exactly. Just a 30 quid. You call Marsh up. Hey, Marsh, I'm thinking of calling my book The Great Reset. Is that going to freak out a bunch of people on Telegram? Oh, it is? All right, we'll go back to the drawing board then. That's all I'm saying, people. We could set up a Patreon. It could be a paper service.
Well, we even come to something, another great example of that. You've got, there was a Danish MP wrote a thought experiment about what like technology might do in the future, potentially. And it was titled, You Will Own Nothing and You Will Be Happy. I was like, no, why would you call it that? Don't put that as your title. Of course they're going to go crazy over that.
So yeah, we get some more scariness here. He also has this weird moment of self-awareness about the housing market, right? He's like, yeah, a bunch of millennials are really disenfranchised because they can't afford a house. And I'm pretty sure that's because they would prefer homelessness.
And is this when he's talking to David Martin? So David Martin is the guy from previous films who was at the time billed as like a patent expert. And now he's been listed as a national intelligence advisor or national intelligence analyst. And if you remember, he was the guy with the bow tie in previous films. And I thought he wasn't wearing a bow tie here. I thought he was in disguise that he'd taken his bow tie off. It is still there. It's just slightly below the line of the camera. So yeah, you don't immediately associate him with that previous job.
We get a money shot of it towards the end of the film. And he's gotten those big bow tie dollars in the interceding films. He's gone all in. He's mega tie money now.
All right. Well, speaking of dressing reasonably, we're going to go order Klaus a nice polo shirt, some pleated dad pants, maybe a cardigan like Mr. Rogers. And then we'll be back with more Plandemic 3, The Great Awakening. Okay. What about Virgin Mary on toast?
Oh, come on. Easy. Right? Virgin Mary, Catholic Church. Bill Donahue.
Okay, yeah, that one was mm-hmm. pretty easy.
Hey, guys, what you doing?
Yeah, so Marsh is playing 6 degrees to literal Nazis with me.
6 degrees to what now?
You can name any bad idea, and Marsh can connect it to the literal Nazis in less than 6 degrees.
Whoa, any bad idea?
Any bad idea.
Okay, what about like those raw meat diets?
Urban caveman movement. 2010 men's rights movement
and literal Nazis. Yeah. Wow. Why does that work? Is it like some giant conspiracy or are Nazis like secretly behind all the pseudoscience and bad politics?
Oh God, I wish. No, it's just stupid leads to more stupid. And it doesn't get much more stupid than being a literal Nazi.
Yeah. So it's like an ideological toilet.
Yeah, exactly. Like no matter where it all starts, it all ends up down the drain of little Nazism.
Yeah. Ooh, what about January 6th?
I mean, you're there.
Yep, already there. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
And then what did you say?
Well, I say, pretty sure that's not the kind of wildflower he meant.
That's a good one.
Because you know, the other kind are in nature? Heath?
Oh, man, it happened again.
What did?
Oh, Heath's social battery ran out.
His social battery?
Yeah, you know, the part of you that's ready to like talk to people and engage. Heath is very bad at managing his, tends to sort of run out.
I see. Is there anything we can do for him?
I mean, he could try therapy with BetterHelp.
Really? Therapy for your social battery?
For sure. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
So no awkward therapist breakups?
No awkward therapist breakups.
Huh. All right, Eli, where do I sign up?
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/awful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/awful.
All right. So what do we do about Heath?
Oh, right. Sorry. Read this.
Oh, okay. There will be alcohol at the next social situation, but I don't know who's
in. I'm in. Let's do it.
Got it. Thanks. Yeah, brilliant.
No problem.
Let's go to the alcohol now. And we're back. When we left off, the movie was a disorganized screed of nonsense. And now, more of that. I don't know how to set things up. That's how they do the movie. They're going to start with AI panic for this segment, but not the good kind, like the crazy kind that makes no sense.
Yeah, not the kind we do on our other shows with our other co-hosts. So this is more out of context speech from the World Economic Forum. But the thing that bothered me most about this, I mean, look, he's doing the usual weird data worship thing that data analysts do. And look, I have now gone to the trouble of learning SQL. I understand why you would want everyone to think he who controls the data controls the world, right? It's why jugglers think that juggling's really important. But the thing that bothered me about this talk is that he has HTML behind him?
Yes.
For his ominous thing?
Specifically, it's like the HTML code for the menu of a website, because it's like, oh, yes, here's the href for the about page and the contact page. It's like, why is that behind him?
AI is learning radio buttons. Fuck. Skynet.
And some lorem ipsum, some like legit just generic text you use to fill a website before you put real text up there. Some lorem ipsum is on the screen behind him.
And then, and I love this so much, so they cut. Now, I want to be clear what's happening here. There's a guy.
What's happening here is Mickey Willis watched Short Circuit and he's been panic Googling whatever.
Right, exactly. Yeah, true. So the guy is giving his scary speech, and then, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, gents, because I don't want to go full Heath, but I think I'm right about this.
Not clear what that means.
Then they have a narrator do that guy's voice to say scarier stuff. Right? So it's not his speech anymore. It's a narrator being like, and another thing is I'm going to put fucking microchips in your penises. I'm Uwe Rosenberg or whoever Marsha said.
Right. The general point of this whole segment, though, is super intelligent computers kept telling Mickey Willis that he's wrong about shit and he made a movie about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We also learn here that apparently China harvested our DNA here in this country because of COVID testing.
Yeah.
And then they
how?
Win something because of that.
How would they even do that? Like, how'd you get COVID? How would China get DNA from a COVID test? They're not dumpster diving to see like all the
that's
discarded
exactly
stuff.
Right. There's no, so here's the basis of reality of this is that there was a large scale incursion, some of which was genetic information taken from COVID tests. Mm. And they think that incursion came from Asia. I could not find a single source that said China specifically. So because there was an incursion from Asia, you know, the continent, that's probably China. But Mickey Willis is definitely 1000% picturing, you know, fucking Chinese Brad Pitt climbing over a fence with a big trash bag full of COVID tests to clone to white, to, who knows?
I mean, yeah, like, yes, I'm sure China's probably trying to create the ultimate AI to take over the world. So are we.
Of course, but, yeah, like, everyone, all the time.
We have James Spader, though. He's here. Like, we're all, we've got Ultron.
And the source for that story about the Chinese stealing of DNA, the source is Medica Life, M-E-D-I-K-A, which is a website that's owned by an advertising company and whose Twitter page has 871 followers, which is not enough to be a source in any documentary.
You don't love it when your Twitter has significantly less followers than those sexy bots that want to sell you Bitcoin.
I bet there's a USA version, like an actual Brad Pitt spy guy that has gone to find like Chinese swab things to collect their DNA.
No question.
You know, to like try to do the same thing. I don't know.
No, there's some retired Marine right now swimming in like a Chinese dam to get to a bunch of medical refuse. Yeah. So now we're going to cut to our next talking head. This is Matthias Desmet.
Yes. And we get to play the crazy person or actual expert that they've convinced to do an interview their later regret game. Though if you Google him, I think he describes himself as the world's leading expert on mass formation and that people got vaccinated because of hypnosis. So he loses it. He's crazy person pretty quickly in here.
Yeah, no, the look in his eyes gave away the crazy person or expert they tricked game pretty quickly for me.
So it would, but if you were an expert who was tricked, I would have that look in my eyes if I was the expert being tricked as well. Like, oh, fuck, this person I'm talking to is really bad. I can already see how future me is going to be like annoyed with me for this. That's the dead look you get in your eyes.
Just composing the apology tweet in your head as you give the interview. And he makes this argument that I do want to talk about, right? And this is the first time they've brought it up in the pandemic movies, right? Which is only this many people were going to die of COVID. And so it wasn't worth it for us to do the lockdowns and the vaccines and all the things.
I believe it's over 7 million right now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think that argument is fascinating because at the core, right, when you dig all the way down, and Marsh can verify this, they're always talking about the great culling, right? Which is the idea that like the Jew lizards, they want to cut some percentage of the population so that they can control the rest of them, which I'm sure comes up at some point in this movie, right? And it does. And then they actually are advocating for that culling. Like the only the old and immunologically compromised people are going to die argument is a great culling.
Yes, yes, it absolutely is. Like the stats they show, and is this guy that thinks it's proof that people got vaccinated because they were all hypnotized. Their stats is that everybody, out of every 200 people over the age of 50, one would die of COVID. And that is evidence that COVID isn't that dangerous. So yeah, that's fine. As long as there's only like 200 people over the age of 50, you're talking right. about one death. If the number of people over the age of 50 gets much bigger than 200 into like the millions and stuff, suddenly that's a lot of dead people there. That's the thing he's missing.
If you were in a high school gymnasium with 200 people and two of them died, you'd lose your fucking shit. Also, I just have to point this out because we're about to move on to our next non-expert. But as his example of the mass hypnosis, he shows us a video of a flash mob.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, he does.
Hey, man, that's just the meme about the wedding where people started dancing down the right, aisle. Yeah. Idiot.
But he says that like his revelation, his big revelation said that he just realized that he was disagreeing with everybody else in the world. And therefore, that's because they were wrong and he wasn't.
It's
and
the
he
best.
Thinks they were hypnotized and wrong.
And he talks about IQ here. Mickey Willis talks to this guy, Matthias, and he's like, hey, okay, so it seems like it would be low IQ people who would get hypnotized. But I'm noticing that high IQ people say that I'm stupid and wrong. That's weird, right?
Yeah.
And then they cut.
It's amazing. His point is that the really smart people were susceptible to thinking there was a virus, whereas people like Mickey Willis didn't think that. And honestly, I cannot fault him on any level there. He's absolutely right.
Sometimes he hits them out of the park, broken clock people. All right, so now it's time for our next expert. This is Zev Zelenko, who you'll notice.
Do you
mean
Del Bigtree? I'm sorry. Del Bigtree is next, and it's very important.
Oh, yes.
Oh, is it Del?
Yeah, we get Del first. We get a little snippet of Del. He opens by saying, do you know, people who are highly intelligent tend to go out and get a lot of degrees. It's like your previous expert literally opened his listing by saying how many degrees he has and what they're in. And he's on your side, yeah.
Okay, I think Del Bigtree might be a Mickey Willis character. Like, I'm not sure.
Whoa.
Like, they try to show them together here in the same room, but they never cut to, like, both faces. At the same time, I think it might be a character.
Do we know if Del Bigtree can be seen by anyone besides Mickey Willis and Michelle Bachman? Also, just one other detail.
Del Bigtree almost died of hemorrhoids during the pandemic because he needed a blood transfusion, but he couldn't be sure that he would get vaccine-free blood. So he found like one guy in Mexico who would give him like one bag of no vaccine blood. He flew there on life support on the plane, bleeding out of his ass, and got this one bag of blood, I guess. And then he did a show about it afterwards. He's got a YouTube show or something. Mm. And it's just him sitting on a hemorrhoids donut being like, I had a really bad time. This didn't work.
I almost died of my hemorrhoids. The punishment for being me is being me.
And I'm sure we get another little expert for a moment next as well, who's like an author. And he's saying like, the more educated you are, the less you question things, as says the guy who's, you know, questioning things to prove he's not particularly educated. But then he's saying like, he says something like, all these people who are like in ivory towers in academia, they're not working on the land. They've got perfectly like soft hands because they're not like learning about the earthiness of like working the land. And it's like, right. But like neither you nor Mickey Willis have spent a lot of time doing manual labor, I'm fairly sure, or picking crops on farms. Like, is there a class equivalent of stolen valor? Because I'm pretty sure that's what you guys are doing right now.
He's just brushing the sweat off his brow as he edits video clips deceptively.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Seize the means of valor. There you go.
So now we're kind of going to cut over to our next expert. This is Zev Zelenko, who's Chiron Reed's physician scientist, though legally, I don't think it should anymore, right?
I mean, there's a couple of reasons why it shouldn't. One of which being he died a couple of months ago, right? A couple of months before this film came out.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Not a great loss to the world, but yeah, it was. And this was an easy one on the crazy person or expert because he's a doctor who lied about having no patients that died of COVID at all. And then he was forced to close his practice when his patients pointed out that was a lie and people they know actually died. And so instead he started selling a homemade supplement called Z-Stack.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
That was his thing. It was like made of zinc and stuff. And at one point he gave a Zoom lecture where he claimed this Z-Stack thing was FDA approved. And my favorite thing about it is that somebody was in that Zoom lecture and meant to email Zed Zelenko about Zedstack and accidentally emailed somebody called Zelensky, who happened to be a federal prosecutor. And so when he
fucking
said,
oh, awesome.
You know, you said that it's FDA approved. The federal prosecutor got that and said, well, it definitely isn't. And now I'm going to do you for this. Yeah.
Amazing.
The only reason that Zelenko didn't go to like prison or anything over this is because he dodged a bullet by dying in 2022.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, and then, of course, we're going to hear from J.P. Sears again. He's going to tell us about how he sacrificed everything, by which he means the YouTube audience he maybe had to tell the truth.
Yeah, I mean, he lists himself on his Chiron as father slash comedian. It's like, yeah, that's rough, because like even he knows that if you put comedian first, people would not buy that. It's got to be something else first. Had sex once, told some jokes is the order he has to go
Same
in.
Same business card as Eli.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely came inside a lady. We could disagree about whether or not I'm funny.
Yeah.
So now we're going to visit with Lily Tang Williams. And she, of course, tells us about the horrors of communist China, which included handing out ideological works to children and making them participate in some kind of morning chant. Can you imagine, Ethan Wright?
Oh, and this is where we learn that Mao Zedong invented trans people, I think, because women wore pants in communist China.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's the death of gender. He made, right. So I have to be clear here because I don't want to go back too far, but her arguments are this. The Cultural Revolution, which admittedly, not great.
Nope, bad thing.
People were eating their babies. And I wrote my notes, wonder if that's misinformation. And then, worse of all, he made women get short haircuts. So that's the worst part. I wrote in my notes, I feel like you go from gender to 80 million dead people. Just a note. I think you want to build to the 80 million dead as opposed to the gender. We get a little on the Uyghur Muslims here. And hey, again, broken clock twice a day. That is, that's real bad what's going on there. Yeah. So, you know, thanks, Mickey, for bringing that into your movie.
But we're not banning religion in the U.S.
We sure aren't.
We're not doing that. Like what we did here, first we came for the anti-vaxxers. And that's it. And it was a really good plan. Like, I don't understand what the problem is.
And then we interview a member of the Falun Gong cult?
Mm, yes, we do. 100%. I didn't expect him to come full pro Falun Gong, but this is where we are.
Weird pick. Yeah, they run that Shenyun dance thing. But yeah, they're all the way a cult. Those billboards are all over Ann Arbor, Michigan area. All over the place.
Have you been to the show?
It's really good, I've heard.
Okay, so here's the crazy thing about that show. Marsh, are you aware of this show?
No.
Or is this just this fucking rules. I'm so excited. So you know Falun Gong, the cult, right?
Yeah.
So here in the United States, they're a dance troupe, which if you're a USA person, you're aware of this. I basically just told Marsh that Scientology in Sweden is a fucking rap band. Like that is what he is, he is grappling with now. Hmm. They do a dance show, a traditional Chinese dance show. The first half is just traditional Chinese dance. And then they stop the show and are like, hey, you know what fucking sucks? Communism in China. And they deliver like a 30-minute monologue about how much it sucks to live in communist China. And then the show you brought your granddaughter to because you didn't read the poster carefully is over.
Wow.
And look, I do want to be clear here. Like Falun Gong cult, yes, but they have also been treated really badly during the Chinese government.
Yeah, both of those things are true.
So like nobody's a winner here.
No. But you don't need to have like a show that you then turn in. It's not like you go and see the Blue Man Group and then they do the last half an hour about how like segregation was actually a really good thing. That's not how that show goes. Yeah.
Oh. Right. And the point is that like Mao murdering people is not the same as vaccines, but they try to show us that. They put them next to each other side by side in the movie. And it's Mao's murder campaign on one side and just people like arguing about vaccines and then like
masks.
People in the background with phones out making TikToks.
Yes.
They're literally comparing video footage of the Cultural Revolution to assholes on YouTube being like, where in the law does it say I have to wear a mask?
Yes. Yeah. Then like, look, and they say like, how many similarities are there? And it's like, well, you've showed me like a video of a lady yelling at someone. So there's one similarity I can see.
One.
Basically.
Camera present. Yeah.
And then they show us some like college students that are communist yelling stuff that's supposed to sound silly. But like, okay, everything an 18-year-old says is fucking dumb.
Yes.
Like there's there's good, eloquent ways to describe your socialism, your communism, not 18-year-old kids in a college club. Like,
yeah.
Interview Greta Thunberg at a keg party. She'll say a slur and praise Joseph Stalin right away, but that doesn't mean anything.
Right. Yeah. If the part of your argument relies on you relying on literal children having an emotional breakdown, right, your argument is not strong if you can't rely on the experts who also make those arguments.
Right. And not even that many children, because the footage that we see are like, there's five US students in the Communist Party. It's, oh, okay, yeah, that's similar. Because like, I think there was at least five in China during like, the Cultural Revolution thing. So it's basically the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they had around five members too.
Yeah.
So now we're going to cut back to G. Edward Griffin again. G. Griffs. This is where, because like, look, here's the problem, right? When you claim to be the party of small government, but you want to do all of it through government, even your own party starts to get confused. But this is where he's going to give us the government metaphor, the fire metaphor. Government is like fire. You want some of it.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, like, we believe in limited government and some fire. And I was like, okay. Wonder if they're going to dig into the nuances of exactly how much is good and when. No, not at all.
He sure isn't. He also comes out anti-democracy here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. Yeah. Which explain like why Mickey Willis was there on January 6th. He's anti-democracy. That at least sticks out. Yeah. Yeah. It checks out.
Right. He mentions that Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle were critics of democracy. Socrates got executed, they say, by democracy. They mean by a jury voting. But just for the record, he got executed by theocracy. It was for impiety and teaching heathen stuff. That's why.
I don't think he knows the difference between plurality and democracy. He's like, there was a majority vote, democracy. Democracy killed Socrates. And look, the argument that he's making here, right, could be sound, right? Which is that you don't want a pure democracy, because if 9 out of 10 people vote to kill the 10th person, you still want principles in place that make that not allowed. But that is not what Republicans are doing with limited democracy.
Right, yeah. And the thing is, he's saying, and that's why we need like checks and balances and stuff. But like, if the Supreme Court was asked to hear a case about whether, you know, you could vote to eat another human being for lunch, there's no way that'd be a 9-0 decision. Like, there'd be a couple of dissents, but it's, you couldn't guarantee which way that was going to go.
No.
Yeah. And this is so great. He ends this little section by saying, you know, people like to talk about right, left, and center. But the truth is, there are people who are pro-freedom, us, and everyone else who's either a cool Nazi or an anarchist.
Good nuance. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He actually says the political spectrum, if that means anything at all. And I was like, it does.
That's
something
why you're
that's
talking
clear
about
what it means.
It.
But he says 0 is anarchy and 100 is total government. And on the 100 total government side, they all have ism as the suffix. He lists a few of them. And then 5 seconds later, he accidentally says individualism and they have to cut and move to the next thing.
Yes, oh, fuck, shit.
And so he explains that the spectrum as well, it goes for like, you know, one side, like the government has to do everything. On the other side is people who believe in like family, like me, individual first, then family. And then it says, and then for those outside his family who may be in need is the direct quote. And I thought, God, current America is far more right wing than even this guy could have imagined in 1960.
And I mean, we all obviously agree that someone should get help eventually. Boo, hippie.
Yep.
So we've been making a lot of things scary. The World Economic Forum, Greta Thunberg. But what if I told you there was an even darker force at work? I'm talking, of course, about the ESG.
Yeah.
Okay. For those of you who aren't familiar, again, the ESG is the sad, it's the please stop burning the planet of rating things, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a little group and they're like, hey, this company's real bad because they burned down rainforests and we sure would like it if you wouldn't. We'll give you a little gold ribbon and maybe you can name your book I Love Hitler or something. Please don't destroy the planet. And they're talking about the ESG like they are a world dominant force.
They murdered Sri Lanka, Eli. They murdered all the people in Sri Lanka, apparently.
And we actually, while he's saying all that, we see some of the ESG's priorities on screen. And it's like, it's such evil, scary things as innovation, environment, and good practice. Like the evil of good practice.
Good
of learning lessons. We don't learn lessons around here.
They should add the practice metaphor, like echo out. Practice, practice, practice. Then we talk about the Dutch farmers. I'm going to be honest, I actually don't know what this is about. Taru, if you could get back to us, let us know.
Finland.
what happened there, I'll just rely on everyone. Check the Patreon. Our Dutch listener, Taru, is going to fill everybody in.
Finland.
But even the Dutch farmers themselves, when they were asked, they told the media part of their motivation was a lack of respect for their profession.
Please do, sorry, Marsh, just do a Dutch accent, which I just real quick.
I'm not going to do a Dutch accent.
Just Marsh, real quick.
Accent is a pretty good Dutch accent.
Malfunctioning.
They're impressive people.
My mic is malfunctioning. I actually can't hear you on the podcast unless you do this next part.
I'll let Heath translate. It's absolutely fine. It's absolutely fine.
I'll see what I can do.
But like the whole point was that the Dutch farmers, some of the stuff that they said to the media that they were protesting was a lack of respect for farmers by the Dutch media. So genuinely part of the demand was more airtime for pro-farmer sentiments. It was basically like their feelings were hurt, was essentially. Yeah. That was the persecution they were getting was too little airtime is what they were fighting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the movie was saying that the Dutch government like roasted farmers to help their ESG score? Is that the claim?
Yes.
I like that we're giving points for roasting, I guess. I don't know who we are, but yeah, ESG points go out to roasting farmers apparently. And then the movie is like, well, and that's why the Dutch economy collapsed. And I was like, did that happen? And I Googled it because I was like, I feel like I would have heard about that. No, no, it didn't happen.
Yeah, but again, like this, I appreciate your confidence, Heath, because when they said the Dutch economy collapsed, I had the exact same impulse of like, I don't know.
I have the ability to find out.
Like, not only could I have missed that, I don't trust myself now to know that it happened, right? Because I was like, I'll write a joke about how that's not true. And then I'm going to get like 9 emails like, I'll have you know the Funden Minhunden collapsed under the Skunbunden Mendunden. And then they throw a fish at me through the TV screen. All right. Now we're going to talk about lockdowns, right? And specifically, if lockdowns were so important, how come the government let all those people protest during COVID?
Yeah. How come the government made exceptions for mass protests? Like, they didn't make exceptions. They just couldn't arrest everybody at once because there were so many of them. There wasn't an exception at any point.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't what they're suggesting, which is that the government allowed the big protests to happen because they were really smart, because they knew those protests would cause property damage, which would lower property prices, and therefore the government could like short the local real estate market, which is the argument this film thinks is actually what was going on.
You don't get to talk about wealth inequality in you got beat up by Bernie Sanders. You don't get to talk about that in your movie. This movie is Brick just holding a grenade on the other side now, and we're like, what?
Right,
what side are you on? How did you even get that?
Exactly. We're going to shit on the former governor of Hawaii from the wrong direction. So this is crazy, right? Because this is actually like a really interesting period in history. So
okay, question.
Yeah.
Are they saying in the movie that the Maui fire was arson by real estate investors, by like big communist real estate investors? Uh-huh.
That is eventually where they get.
Island-wide arson, yes.
We do get a lady who straight up looks into the camera and is like, by the way, those fires, not a natural disaster. And I was like, oh, please say more. But she does not.
She doesn't.
No. She does not. But what actually happened here, right, is that when there were the fires, a bunch of developers came in. They obviously wanted to like buy up land that was owned by people and turn it into mega condos. And there was some shady stuff going on with the government that made that all bad. That is not what Mickey is complaining about, okay?
No.
Mickey is complaining that they wanted to turn Hawaii into 15-minute cities, aka, and his words, not mine, open-air prison camps.
Yes, that is what he says. Yeah, absolutely.
Who's against a 15-minute city? I don't understand.
It's just the nicest thing. It's like being it's like an ominous Chiron behind a milkman. It's just like, well, fresh milk for you here. Fresh milk, fresh milk.
Yeah, I like driving my Chevy Suburban to strip malls, and that's the best. Like, go to that strip mall. That's an open-air prison camp. That's sad and tragic and terrifying.
And you can still go to it. You're still allowed to go to it. That's the thing.
Do that. Yeah.
He says they're going to turn it into 50-minute cities, aka open air prison camps. He says so you'll have everything you need nearby, so you'll never have to leave. It's like, right, yeah, because the thing about prisons is they're just so convenient with all the things that they have there that the inmates don't ever have to leave. They never want to leave the prisons. That's why they stay there. It's just everything they need is right there on their doorstep. It's so convenient.
Yeah, man, just don't do metaphors. You can't handle the switch.
But who's buying up all the land, you ask? Why, none other than Bill Gates. And okay, this is the argument. This is where we meet our two talking heads. We've met them before, but this is the first time we're going to talk about them. They're the Quack Brothers, because you cannot make up how silly our experts in all these documentaries are. And they're going to explain to us that when companies own all the property, governments own all the property.
Yes, that is their argument. That it's collectivism because billionaires and Bill Gates own so much stuff, which is exactly the same as a government owning so much stuff.
Bill Gates is their example of communism.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's so stupid.
Yeah,
yeah, they really blow the lid off the Bill Gates being rich scandal here. He owns a bunch of property and they're like, and that's communism.
They literally say it's
so dumb.
It's farmland.
They refer to it as they're talking about a private person's property and they call it, I'm not kidding, the abolition of private property.
Yes, they do. They do. They absolutely do. And it's like they're literally saying that the super rich person who owns all the farmland that makes people work on that farmland is just communism. It's like, oh, please, Americans, could you read a history book that goes back further than grandpa's memory just for once in your life? Describing a feudal system, if nothing else. You have a feudal lord.
I mean, you lost us at could you read?
You lost us at the Dutch government earlier, yeah. Yeah.
Duck, fish.
All right. But seriously,
Taru gets
they're
that.
Mad about a capitalist giving money to charity because that's communist. So great work, movie. Words are meaningless. That means we get another quick break. But first, let me give ACT whatever the fuck the hard sell. Is the mattering of black lives ruining the nuclear family and therefore the world? Is nuclear a really hard word to say?
Hey.
What's another argument Mickey Willis won in the shower against himself? Find out the answer to these questions and more when we return for the unmedicated conclusion of Plandemic 3, The Great Awakening.
From the makers of Plandemic 1.
The vaccine is a hoax.
And Plandemic 2.
Okay, wait. Sometimes some vaccines hurt people.
And Plandemic 3.
I just generally disapprove of mandates from any government ever.
Comes an ever-shrinking opinion, no doubt due to legal consequences.
Shit, another letter?
Because if you make your living slandering important medical and political establishments, the only way to prevent consequences is to run ideologically backwards as fast as you can.
Their lawyer said what?
Plandemic 4, a safer form of con.
Greta Thunberg talks too loud.
Yeah, no, that should be fine.
Nice. And we're back. When we left off, it doesn't matter. There's no narrative structure or anything. The new tangent is Karl Marx, the notorious vaccinator, I guess.
Okay. We haven't been mentioning this, and we really should take a moment here to talk about the fact that they have been using for illustrative images throughout the entire movie Midjourney photos.
Yes.
Like AI photos. You have the rights to photos of Karl Marx. There are lots and lots of photos of Karl Marx.
And it's so weird how they've been doing it because they also did it with like Socrates, but it was like a photorealistic picture of Socrates. Like, where did you get that? It was like even in the courtroom when they were talking about him being like sentenced to death. It's like, wow, they had the courtroom artists back then were really quite good.
Really good, yeah.
Super good at their job.
Do that mid-trial, yeah.
Yeah. So they just like slander Karl Marx for a while. They say he's an atheist too, just in case you want to be extra suspicious. His wife hated him. Also, he was unwilling to work later in his life. And that's like a big point for them. And at this moment, I was like, hold on, I got to check something. Here's what I learned. The following anti-vax groups got over $1.1 million in PPP loans. The Informed Consent Action Network, founded by Dell Bigtree. Also, RFK Jr.'s group, two different groups founded by Joseph Merkela, and another one founded by Sherry Tenpenny. all of them associated with Mickey Willis and Plandemic movies and Vaxxed movies.
Huh. Weird. Weird. You're saying those people take handouts? The people who started with Fierce Immunity and then a smart square for me to pay them for their free movie?
Yeah.
The hell you say.
Also, I'm pretty sure the pandemic wouldn't dry up the labor hours for anti-vax lying, right? Wouldn't there be plenty of labor at that point?
Feel like if anything, that was your boom season. Yeah. We'll also get a little visit from one of my favorite talking heads here. Peter Boghossian, everybody. Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Peter Boghossian. In fact, it's worse than just Peter Boghossian. Specifically, it's a clip from him speaking at the, quote, Speaking Truth to Social Justice conference that was in London that was put on by Christian nationalists. And I know, because I was there. I happened to be in London. I wandered by to see where it was. It's, oh, this place, this incredibly expensive hotel with like 40 people at your conference is probably making you a loss of a huge amount of money. I wonder why the Christian nationalists want to have you people there. Yeah, that's what this fucking clip is from Boghossian.
Was he very eloquent? Did he make a lot of good points about the problems of fascism? Because the one they give us here is him being mad that, like, they do name calling, the wokes,
yes!
Which is fascism and super mean. And I had to quit my job at university.
I got yelled at because I made a Star Trek one. Reference. Yeah. And then I went crazy and my whole life was destroyed.
Yeah. And then, so right. So we get Peter Boghossian being normal crazy, but then we cut back to Noah's Ark guy, right? In old timey times. And it seems, I wrote in my notes, it really seems like they're talking about the civil rights movement right now. Are they anti-civil rights movement? And that's when he's like,
sure,
to be clear, I am very much against the civil rights movement that is happening right now. It's 1969.
Yeah, absolutely. He's talking about all the people who just throw the word racist around to shut down arguments. And while they're doing that, we can actually see pictures of signs saying whites only and, quote, no coloreds. So like, I guess those signs are also just people throwing around the term racist to describe the people that they disagreed with. I'm sure right. That's what that was as well. Yeah, yeah.
Wow, they couldn't just look in the background of the stuff they were using. Wow.
Yeah, they could not. And this is where he's going to make the point, and I fucking love this point. Right. So many of you have probably heard Trumpers or just wrong people refer to themselves as the silent majority. And I don't know if I can even call this a conspiracy theory, but basically it's the idea that even though all the polls and the media and the TV and my niece who blocked me on Facebook all tell me that everyone disagrees with me, we're all just too afraid to speak out. Mm. So we're the silent majority.
In a movie right now. Yeah.
Yes. It is quite literally, if everyone you meet is an asshole, they're the asshole, the political philosophy.
Yeah. And they show us the headline, 62% of Americans have political views that they're afraid to share. And I was like, yeah, well, people are dumb. At least some of them are self-aware enough to shut the fuck up and not make a musical and three movies about their dumb shit.
Yeah, exactly. Because like those political views that they're afraid to share aren't about like, what percentage income should be taxed at? That's not the views that they're afraid to share here.
Right.
Like, why aren't we really drilling down on that, Mickey? What is it you aren't telling us about those views, Mickey? Yeah.
And then we get some communist Girl Scouts, which was the greatest fucking thing in the movie.
Okay. To be clear, this is a comedy sketch by famed monologist Kimberly Wong. It is a comedy sketch. It's not real. It's a sketch by a comedian within a comedy show.
That's disappointing. I was really hoping this troop
You were really
existed.
Hoping this was just footage really of a scouts want. Meeting? Yeah.
Just being like, white people are fucking creepy. Say it with me. Structural racism. It was adorable. I loved it.
Yeah. And then we get, so again, you got to keep in mind that like the thing that Mickey Willis's fans and followers have been doing is like harassing people and cyber stalking them and screaming at school board meetings. So now we have to shit on people who don't want you to cyber stalk your school board because they made your kid get vaccinated.
Yes. It's like Josh Hawley as well. We see like Josh Hawley explaining some of the rules that are coming in to demonize people. Said, you know, you could be prosecuted for using the internet. And he shows on screen like prosecution for using internet. But like in the same sentence, it says essentially using internet to engage in a course of conduct that places the victim in reasonable fear of death.
Yeah.
That is what you're not allowed to use the internet for. It's not, you're not going to be prosecuted prosecute of like going on Amazon and checking out your ex on Facebook. It's specifically the death threats, no, Josh Hawley.
It's more about like his constituency having a violent mob that he had to run away from. In a beautiful video.
That Mickey Willis was a part of.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So now, again, because we've gone full right wing at this point, now we're going to talk about how communists are coming for the nuclear family.
The nuclear family. Yeah, something like that.
Okay, well, that's fair. They are going to butcher the word nuclear family. So, and look, I'm Eli Bosnick telling you that these people do a bad job of pronouncing that word. There are so many extra syllables in this thing, they could be coding of messages to their handlers.
They have to say the word bourgeois in this segment, too, and they're fine with that, but they can't say nuclear. Real simple. And the point they make is, you know, Marx said the bourgeois family will vanish. And I was like, yeah, the middle class family did vanish, but it's not because of communism, you fucking idiots.
So then we get a bunch of really what are supposed to be ominous clips of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, which is already problematic because they're a lateralized group. But one of them is just a lady being like, yeah, a kid said he read a book. And I was like, that's great. You should talk about it. And they're like, great. And talk about it.
Yeah. I think she said like because she's written a book, like, oh, someone said it's like Mao's Little Red Book. It's like, yeah, in the sense that it's a book. Yes, that is the comparison
pages,
that the person's making.
Cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. They show some of the founders of BLM on the cover of Time. And you know, Mickey Willis was clearly mad about this because he really thought he was going to be like Person of the Year when he came out with Plandemic.
Oh, no question.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super mad about that.
Right. So what does this all mean? Right. Well, if it means that you're going to be canceled, right, you're obviously going to give in to the pressure of all the vaccine pressure. And now we're going to get a scary, again, I can't emphasize this enough, a scary montage of the things they did to encourage people to get a life-saving vaccine, including college sponsorships, comic books, joints for jams.
Donuts.
And apparently something where you got to have sex with a prostitute for free.
Yeah, apparently a brothel offered a vaccine coupon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, they at one point, they give someone a gun in exchange for a vaccine. And that's brilliant. Yeah, like give them the gun, vaccinate them, and give them a gun so they can just die in a different epidemic is a brilliant idea. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They did show one of my favorite clips that's ever been on television. So for those of you outside of New York, Bill de Blasio was a multimillionaire who we made our mayor as a fun bit. And he takes his first bite, I'm sure, of a hamburger on camera and then almost instantly throws up because I don't know if you know this, hamburgers are fucking disgusting for poor people food. So he's like, when you think of the shot, think of one of these. He takes a bite and you see him be like, oh, God, is that what we're feeding them? Oh, can't they taste it? What the hell?
What is this, a circle food? I don't understand where to start.
Oh, my God. I still live in the house with my wife who I'm divorced from. So now we're going to cut back to G. Edward Griffin again. He's sort of going to wrap this up for us. He's like the, you know, the commies have their teeth sunk into us. Again, keep in mind that he's telling us this in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Right? And that we only have a little bit of time left to fight off the communist revolution.
Right.
And so now we cut to modern day. We see modern AIDS denying Noah's Ark guy. And Mickey Lewis is like, wow, that thing you've been saying for 70 years sure is about to happen. What should we do? Like, what should the people do? And podcast listener, I know you're listening to a comedy show and you're not going to believe what I tell you is true. But he says, I don't know, do something.
Yes, yes. Although it's pretty clear that the 1969 footage of him was calling for people to like rise up in an armed insurrection, right?
Oh, absolutely. It was absolutely a violent
stochastic
message.
Stochastic terrorism all the way, like stochastic terrorism with plausible deniability might as well have been the subtitle of that entire long speech. But now, you know, grandpa's aged 60 years and he can't remember what it was. It was some shmerishmers. I can't remember the word I was using at the time. Just go and do something. Yeah,
yeah, anything. The shot of this guy 50, 60 years later was fucking jarring. Like it was like a before and after of 5-6 decades of the wrong grail, but like all of a sudden, real fast, time lapse.
Takes a sip of it every morning, every fucking morning.
And this is where I bothered actually Googling this guy because I thought, oh, fuck, we've listened to this guy the whole film. I should figure out who he was. And that's when I realized he was an AIDS denialist who sells Laetril as a cancer cure, believes in chemtrails, and made a film about the time he found Noah's Ark. I was like, oh my God, this is the guy this entire fucking film has been based on.
And so then he's just going to kind of meander around. Like, he has nothing to say. There's a, like, he shits on everything from going into a bookstore to iPads, yeah. Right? He's like, he's talking about how they're doing mind conquering, and we see some stock footage of a kid playing with an iPad.
Just evil human cooperation is what they're, they do a montage of like good for society stuff.
Yeah.
For a while. And then you see the movie be like, fuck, that wasn't evil at all. That's just people smiling and helping each other. What do we do next?
And this guy's the expert. Like, Mickey Willis asks him, who were the key figures? And the expert in this movie says, I'm not sure we can name names. Brilliant. Then why are you here? Then what are you for? You're the expert that we're pissing.
Come on, man. Say Hillary Clinton. We'll give you an extra $20.
Yeah.
And then, I gotta admit, I was getting a little bored at this point, but then this movie began to directly attack our dear sweet Heath Enright, because he comes up with a solution, and the solution is for you to vote third party. That's right.
God damn it.
You can't settle for the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, he prefers the greater of cut. But he says, we need grassroots and new parties. And I was like, yeah, actually, I do agree with that, but I'm certain you're about to fuck it up. I will give you 5 minutes and you're going to land on Atlas Shrugged. And they sure the fuck do.
They sure
real
do.
Real fast, less than 5 minutes. So from there, we get a montage of just like the people, the talking heads giving those vague rants of the dude trying to fuck you at 3 a.m. at a shitty college party. They each get their like 1 minute rant like that. One guy says, people cannot go back into the Matrix. And I was like, okay, that's nothing. Yeah. That's nonsense. But Mickey Willis definitely thinks he's Neo. For sure.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
He's tried to do Kung Fu. He's hurt himself. No doubt about
for
it.
For sure. Yeah. No, he does the Spider-Man test on a regular basis. Yeah.
Yeah. They tell us ESG is bad again. I don't know. Mickey Willis, he just started writing like 19 movies and he used all of those crumbled up pieces of paper for this movie. And he's like, whatever, they're all back in. So he does ESG for a second again. And it just, the movie's going so long. The movie has long COVID and it's just going real, real fucking long.
Oh, we see Lily again as well. And Lily's like shitting on immigrants. I thought, oh, is there anything more American than emigrating to America and then immediately complaining that the America you knew is going away? Like,
yes,
made
it's
it,
been
lady.
Conquered by immigrants. Yeah, she did it. You did it, girl. Right. So proud of you.
But they try to like end with an up message for their thing. Mickey Willis says like, okay, people finally figured out the evil plan of the Great Reset. And I was like, did we know? Like, your movie doesn't even know. You're just guessing at shit. So far, you think it's the conspiracy of 15-minute cities and bigots getting called names on the internet and ladies wearing long pants. You haven't figured it out. What's going to happen?
And we close with a shot of the Falun Gong lady doing the Falun Gong dance at the White House. Not for the White House, like she's been invited. She's standing outside of it, dancing at it, like she's summoning a Kamehameha.
Oh, right. Yeah, so we need the cult dance thing, and also we see some tire swings, a lot of tire swings.
Yeah, that's a lot gonna of tire stuff. Things.
Amber waves of grain.
They've got the recipe from Mickey as well. It's straight choice. It's a choice between dehumanization and rehumanization. But surely you need to be dehumaned before you can be rehumaned.
Rehumaned, right. You can't be rehumaned if you're already human.
Exactly.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says the key is symbiosis. And I was like, okay, you mean like a mutually beneficial relationship? Like, I don't know, top of my head, herd immunity would be one. Is that what you're talking about? Idiot. But yeah, the point of the movie, Hitler was bad, Stalin was bad, ergo vaccines are bad, QED. End of movie.
What a waste of our time that was. What an absolute waste of all of our time.
All right, so what did we learn? Nothing. And that's going to do it for Plandemic 3, but that's not going to do it for the episode just yet because we found another terrible movie. So Eli, what's on deck?
Well, Heath, speaking of the mentally ill, it's time to delve one step deeper down the rabbit hole that is Donald James Parker's mind. So we'll be watching the third in his Best Friends series.
Fuck.
Best Friends Genetically Modified.
Oh, I hate it so much. Okay. With that to, I usually say look forward to here. Nope. We're going to bring episode 452 to a merciful close. Big thanks to Marsh, as always. Anything you wanted to announce? Anything coming up?
I'll always keep an eye on QEDcon.org. We've put the dates out. It's the 18th to the 20th of October. The ticket prices are up on there. I think tickets are going to be on sale in, I think it's like the first week of May. So keep an eye out and you'll see all the details there as soon as tickets are available.
He means for sale, American people. You're not getting a discount, just so you know. he means you can buy them.
Technically, you will get a discount. We're doing early bird tickets this year, lasting up until like the start of September, I think it is. So, so they'll be slightly cheaper than they would be if you leave it to the last second. So buy early and buy often.
All right. And of course, a big thanks to our Patreon donors for all the generosity. If you'd like to help support the show, you can make a per episode donation at patreon.com/godawful. That'll get you early access to an ad-free version of every episode. And if you enjoyed this show, be sure to check out our sibling shows, The Scathing Atheist, Citation Needed, The Skeptocrat, and D&D-, available in all the podcast places. If you have questions, comments, or cinematic suggestions, you can email godawfulmovies@gmail.com. Our theme song was written and performed by Ryan Slonick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. All other music was written and performed by our audio engineer, Morgan Clark, and was used with permission. Thanks again for giving us a chunk of your life this week. For Marsh and Eli, I'm Heath. Promise to work hard to earn another chunk next week. Until then, we'll leave you with the Animal House close.
Mickey Willis met a guy in the subway who was yelling about the Jews, and so he's now filming Plandemic 4.
Speaking of Mickey Willis, when he's not making murderous anti-vax propaganda, he works as a so-called forensic filmmaker producing other types of murderous propaganda used literally by Kyle Rittenhouse's defense team. Seriously.
Ooh.
Also the Covington Catholic kid. He did that one. He helped with that too.
Plandemic the Musical isn't on demand yet, but when it is, we'll be there. We'll be there. How about I remember to do it this time? We'll try it with I do it this time.
Wow, we're so in sync. I didn't even hear you, Eli. So it's just like absolutely
that's how good
on.
It is.
Mm-hmm. What did you think was happening when I was counting?
That's a good question. It's a good question, Heath. And I love that in America, a country this brave and free, we can ask questions.
Are you a communist?
Like
the best thing was that Eli asked you to do the count.
Yeah. So
he put you in the counting seat.
We were within the context of that.
Imagine if I had been leading that, Marsh. I would have just sat here in silence. We would have died of old age. Someone call 999. This is a cry for help. Heath needs it. Or 911 for you American listeners.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, you went straight to 999. I appreciate it.
I always assume we're speaking to Brits when Marsh is on the show. I think the balance shifts, even though numerically that is not the case.
That is definitely not the case, but yeah.
The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and a Thunderstorm, LLC, copyright 2024, all rights reserved.